Our text for today consists of two verses. We turn today to John chapter 6. And there in verse 67, after many of the Lord's disciples went back and walked no more with him, the Lord turned to the 12 and said unto them, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter, no doubt speaking for all of the disciples, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Loyalty to the Lord and to his word. The Apostle John in the Gospel declared, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He then follows up this statement by identifying the Word, saying, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Again, in verse 17 of John 1, John tells us grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the Word has been identified. The Word is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the incarnate Word, is full of grace and truth. And throughout the days of his earthly ministry, he manifested that grace wherever his ministry took him. By his grace, he rescued sinners. By his grace, he raised up the sick. By his grace, he relieved the sorrowing. By his grace, he received the suffering. And each one who was touched by Christ could say, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. John 1:16. And that grace, like an ever-flowing stream, can never be exhausted. No wonder John Newton sang about the amazing grace of Christ. John Bunyan wrote about grace abounding. The Apostle Paul preached about abundant grace, 2 Corinthians 4 and 15. But that's not all. For not only is the incarnate Word full of grace, he's also full of truth. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Pilate once asked the Lord, what is truth? Sure wasn't Pilate standing looking at truth in the face, because the one whom he was addressing is the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The Savior told Pilate, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. And he bore witness unto the truth, because he is the truth. Moses has also informed us He is my rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth. And without iniquity, just and right is He. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. And since He is the Word made flesh, every word that ever proceeded from His lips was the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. And no one ever preached the word of truth like Christ. For it was said of Him, never man spake like this man. John 7 and 46. No one ever taught the word as Christ did. For Nicodemus said, Rabbi, we know Thou art a teacher come from God. But He didn't tell the whole story. For not only is Christ a teacher come from God, He is God the teacher. No one ever expounded the word as Christ did. The Emmaus disciples could testify to this. For it is written, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. Luke 24 and verse 27. He expounded the scriptures. That's a rarity today. More often than not, from pulpits up and down the length and the breadth of this land, a little homily is given. A little story is told with a moral attached to it. But when it comes to expounding the scriptures, we don't hear much of that today. Going into the depths of scriptures, opening the word. That's how Christ preached. That's how Christ taught. That's how Christ ministered in the Word. He expounded the Scriptures. And nobody could expound the Word like Christ. No one had a knowledge of the Word as Christ had. Often rebuking the doctors of the law with the words, have ye not read? There were the scribes, the high and mighty scribes who claimed to know so much of the word, and yet on many occasions the Lord had to say to them, have ye not read? Christ had a deep knowledge of the word. And no one was as skilled in the use of the word as Christ, because He not only confounded Satan, but He did so others with the words, it is written. It is written. And then Christ was able to quote from the scriptures to confound, as I said, not only Satan, but his cohorts. What a mighty preacher and teacher and expounder of the word was Christ. Anyone who has read the sermons of C.H. Spurgeon, and there are many volumes of his sermons, from New Park Street to the Metropolitan Tabernacle. When you read his sermons, I know I have often thought, what must it have been like sitting in the Metropolitan Tabernacle listening to a man who's described as the Prince of Preachers? 5,000 of a congregation, morning and evening. And often he would tell his own congregation to stay at home every now and again so that others who were not part of the congregation could come and gain entrance and sit under his ministry. And the church was filled again when strangers came. What must it have been like to sit under the ministry of Spurgeon, the prince of preachers? But what must it have been like to sit under the ministry of Christ, whom we could say is the King of preachers? To sit under the Lord's ministry. For when he commenced his ministry in Nazareth, in the synagogue, and he spoke, when he opened his mouth, we are told, all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. They wondered. They were mesmerized when they heard the word that Christ preached. Yet not everyone in his congregations were so enamored with his preaching. For we read in verse 60, many therefore, mark the words, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? In verse 66, from that time, from the time they listened to the ministry of Christ, and they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? We're told from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They didn't like the preaching of Christ. And the Lord then turned to the few who remained, because it says many of his disciples. He turned to the few who remained. In fact, he turned to the 12 and said unto them, will ye also go away? And Peter spoke and said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Loyal to the Lord and to his word. That's what we want to consider today. And believer, may you and I ever be loyal to the Lord and to his holy and his precious word. I want us first of all this morning to consider the complaining disciples. We will look today at the complaining disciples, to the many who murmured against the Lord, and to the many who left the Lord and left his word. And next Sabbath morning, I want to look then at those faithful few disciples who remained loyal to the Lord and his word. First of all, the complaining disciples. It was to a congregation in a synagogue in Capernaum that the Savior ministered. And many of those who were present there in that place of worship murmured against him. Verse 61, and when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured. You notice the number of times that those who murmured and those who complained are described as his disciples. And many of those present in that place of worship murmured against him. And so Christ can sympathize with the ministers of the gospel who find themselves in similar circumstances. Those ministers who have seen people come and go will hear the Lord experience exactly the same thing. And yet it was said of Christ, never man spake like this man. And yet the Lord Jesus had individuals, had worshippers, had disciples who couldn't take his ministry. They couldn't accept what he had to say. Here we notice their dissatisfaction. This dissatisfaction in the congregation seems to have been widespread. Many of his disciples. What were they dissatisfied with? They were first of all dissatisfied with the message. There were those who listened to Christ preach and teach in the synagogue there who were not satisfied with what they heard. Verse 60 again. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" In other words, they're saying, this message is disagreeable to us, and it must be disagreeable to many others, for they said, "Who can hear it? If we can't listen to it, if we can't accept it, there must be many others who just can't accept this as well." That's the old argument that you get. Oh, I'm not the only one who disagrees with you. I'm not the only one who doesn't like what you say. And they come out with this saying to give some, lend some support to their position. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? We're not the only ones. Yet what was it that Christ had said that was so disagreeable to those hearers? The Savior had spoken about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And his hearers found this objectionable. They said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" That word "hard" is a word that signifies something that's rough. Here was something that went against the grain. Here was something that they could not accept. How can a man talk about people eating his flesh and drinking his blood? Who can hear this? This is rough, they were saying. He had given them the strong meat of the word, but they were unable to digest it. He had given them sound doctrine. The doctrine of substitution, verse 51. The doctrine of salvation, verse 40. The doctrine of satisfaction, verses 48 to 50. The doctrine of sanctification, verse 54. He taught them that his flesh was food for their souls, and the blood would be a refreshing to their souls, a refreshment. And when they heard that, they said, "This is a hard saying. who can hear? In other words, they didn't want to hear it. They didn't have an ear for sound doctrine. This, they displayed their dissatisfaction because they didn't have a heart for spiritual things. That was at the heart of the problem. Verse 63, the Lord says, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." In other words, whenever the Lord Jesus told his hearers, those worshippers in the synagogue that day in Capernaum, when he told them that they were to eat his flesh and drink his blood, he was giving them spiritual teaching. He was speaking to them spiritually. He was telling them that he, Christ Jesus, was the food for their souls. They were to feast on Christ. They were to partake of him. They were to feast their souls on the Lord. He was dealing with spiritual things. And do you know what? Many of his disciples couldn't handle spiritual things. They couldn't handle this teaching of Christ. It was too deep for them. It was too rough for them. The words of Paul could apply to those that the Lord ministered to that day, for we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first two verses there, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." The Lord had given them sound doctrine. The Lord was teaching them spiritual lessons. The Lord was giving them the meat of the word. And we're told, when they heard what Christ had to say, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with them. They didn't want any more of this ministry. It's hard to take in, isn't it? Didn't want any more of the Lord's ministry. You know something? It's the same today. I'm afraid that today many are not interested in listening to the man who has a preaching, teaching, expository ministry. The man who focuses on building up believers in their most holy faith with sound doctrine and gospel truth will be told, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" I'm telling you, that's the way it is today. As we've already mentioned, many today just want a little homily, a little story told that will last no more than 15 minutes and has a little moral at the end of it. But there's nothing there for the soul. There's no preaching of Christ, and the Lord is telling us here and telling his hearers, he is the food for the believer's soul. But many today don't want to hear that. They don't want it. All they want to be is entertained. To have their ears tickled. To sit in a meeting in comfort and not be disturbed, not be challenged, not be told about their sin, not be told about living a holy life. They don't want that. It's a hard thing. As far as they are concerned, who can hear it? And off they go to some place where it's a frivolous whole thing. It's where they can sit in peace and quiet and come out of the service with that warm, fuzzy feeling, as we have heard men say. That's what it's all about today. Let us be loyal to this book. As well as the message, we see the men. Those who objected to the message that Christ preached are referred to in verses 60, 61, and 66 as his disciples. Now he also tells us in verse 64, there are some of you that believe not. So the Lord knows his own. And here there were evidently those in that congregation who believed not, who pretended to be the Lord's followers, who pretended to be the Lord's disciples, but they were not. But nevertheless, on three separate occasions, some in that congregation are called his disciples, and it was his disciples who said, "This is a hard saying." It was his disciples who couldn't accept what the Lord was teaching them. And it was his disciples who went back and walked no more with him. Let's take the word disciple. The word disciple means a learner. It means a pupil or a student. But I'm afraid these men were not prepared to sit in the school of Christ and be taught and be built up in their most holy faith. They were not interested in attending the Lord's school of learning. That's it. And sad to say, it's the same again today. Men and women are not interested in learning. Learning more about the Word. Learning more about Christ. They're not interested in being a student and been taught. Doesn't matter how long a person has been a Christian, they're always learning and always being educated. But sad to say, little has changed today from the days of the Lord. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, "For the time will come," and we're at it now. We've reached that time. "The time has come, will come," Paul says, "when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." They will not endure sound doctrine. The word endure means to bear with, to forbear, to suffer. The time will come when men and women will not suffer sound doctrine. And again, it's a sad reflection on Christianity today that many professing believers are not interested in doctrine. They're just not. It's too deep for them. Christian doctrine leads to practical Christian living. If you get the doctrine right, you'll live right. And yet how many today know anything about the doctrine of adoption? The doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of sanctification, the doctrine of justification. How many believers would you meet with today and they could tell you about the doctrine of justification? I venture to say very few, because they've never heard it taught. And they go about endeavoring to establish their own righteousness, and they don't know that the doctrine of justification teaches they have already received a righteousness that's not their own, but it's the righteousness of Christ. And all the other doctrines that we have referred to, they cannot endure sound doctrine. They cannot bear to listen to sound biblical teaching. And the excuse is, oh, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? I'm not the only one. And I'm telling you the truth. That's the way it is. Far too many places, so-called worship today, the people there, they want a platform and not a pulpit. They want a platform with a drum kit in the corner and a row of microphones and guitars. That's what they want. They want a platform, not a pulpit. They want a performer, not a preacher. I told you before about been given once a tape recording of a minister in the States, a minister. And this tape recording was made up of all the jokes that this minister told to his congregation to get them warmed up before he started preaching. That's some testimony for a minister to have. The collection of his jokes. I didn't happen to be given any tapes of his sermons. I was given a tape of his jokes. That's the way it is. And the man who doesn't want the word doesn't want Christ. And that's not a flippant saying. That's the truth. The person who doesn't want the Word of God does not want Jesus Christ. Because Christ is the Word. If you reject the Word, you reject Christ. Because He is the Word. And the person who doesn't want the Word, doesn't want to know more about Christ, doesn't want to be like Christ, doesn't want to live like Christ, doesn't want a heart like Christ, they want something else that'll tickle their ears. We notice the message in the men, and then we have the murmuring. We're told Jesus Christ knew in himself that his disciples murmured. Verse 61. To the Lord Jesus Christ, their thoughts were utterances. They murmured under their breath. They murmured in their hearts. But they might as well have had a megaphone. As far as the Lord was concerned, he heard every word. He knew every word they said. That word murmured means muttered or to grumble. To grumble. Now here's something. The only time the word murmured is used in the Gospels is to describe the critics of Jesus Christ. It's never used for anybody else. It is only used of those critics of the Lord Jesus. Would that not teach us then? Beware of murmuring. Beware of grumbling and being critical of the word that is preached. So they murmured and they grumbled instead of rejoicing over what they were hearing and what they had heard. They murmured and they muttered and they grumbled because of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And when the Lord asked his disciples, "Will you also go away?" Simon Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." We're staying. That's what Peter was saying. Saying, "Lord, we're staying. We're staying with thee, and we're staying because of the word." They were loyal to the Lord and his word. We notice not only the dissatisfaction, but we have here also the demand. Not knowing that the Lord was listening to the murmurings in the heart of these complainers against him, the Lord demanded an answer. Verse 61 we read, "And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it," at the word, "said unto them, Doth this offend you?" Man, you loved to have been there. Just to hear the Lord challenging these murmurers. "Doth this offend you?" The word "offend" is the Greek word "scandalize." They were saying in their hearts, "This is a scandal. The Lord's telling us we are to eat his flesh and drink his blood. This is a scandal." That's what they're saying. And they decided they were departing, they were going away, they would never walk with him again because they did not want to be associated with this scandal. So many went back and walked no more with him. They're not the first hearers of the word to be offended by the truth. How many self-righteous sinners have been offended by the truth when they've been told, "You're a sinner. You may have your name in the church roll. You may have been baptized, you may have been catechized, you may have been confirmed, but you're a sinner. And you're in need of God's salvation. And if you don't come to Christ and you're not saved, you'll be cast out of his sight forever." And many people has that message offended. "How dare you?" They'll say, "How dare you say I'm a sinner? I'm a member of such and such a church. And I had a woman told me this. A woman told me, my minister said, because I go to the church, I'm all right. The Lord will accept me. And there's many a sinner has been offended by the truth. How many worldly Christians have been offended by the truth? When told that a true Christian lives a separated life from the world, God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's the truth. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7. How many proud, self-centered believers are offended when told from God's word, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. How dare you say I'm proud? After the dissatisfaction and the demand, and the Lord said, doth this offend you? We have the discernment. After hearing the thoughts of their hearts, the Savior said to the objectors in verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who would and who should betray him. See, the Lord knew the state of the heart of everyone in that synagogue that day. The Lord, we are told, said, there are some of you that believe not. You're not believers. So how many in that congregation were true believers? Isn't it interesting that those false professors were found out that day? They were found out. Because the Lord said to them, but there are some of you that believe not. And who is the Lord? He's the Word. He's the Word. And the Word found them out. And the Word exposed them. And the Word declared, some of you are not believers. And praise God, that's the power of the Word. Not only the incarnate Word, but the written Word. For the Word of God will expose sin. The Word of God will expose the false professor. The Word of God will expose the hypocrite. The Word of God will expose that individual who claims to be something he or she is not. The Word of God. Let us be loyal and true to this Word. The Word will always divide the chaff from the wheat. The Word will divide the sheep from the goats. The Word will divide the false from the true. The Word will divide the genuine from the hypocrite. And there were some in that congregation who professed to be believers, but they were not, and the Word found them out. Does this not remind us of the words that we find in Hebrews? In chapter 4, in verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. The word quick, of course, means living. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. For many have been found out by the word. I remember preaching one time a number of years ago at a church in Greenville. And there was a woman in that church, a prominent member of the church. And after the service, she came to get right with God. And she says, "As I realized tonight that I was never saved." She'd been living a life professing to be a Christian. But she said, "Tonight the word convicted me. And the word showed me I was never saved." It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the heart. That's the power of the word. And the word found false professors that day in Capernaum. And the word of God, if you like, found out that woman. She wasn't really saved. Here in the last place we have departures. What an amazing word picture we have here in verse 66. "And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." I picture the Lord standing in the midst of that congregation in Capernaum and watching one after another. People get up, walk out, and file out past him. Having indicated they don't like his preaching. Having indicated they didn't like his message. Having indicated what he said was a scandal. Having indicated they didn't want to be associated with him. They didn't want to be scandalized. And there the Savior stood and watched them go back. Never to walk with him again. Like someone in a church service getting up and going out and saying to the preacher, "I'll never be back here. I don't like your preaching. I'll never be back here." That's what they were saying to the Lord. "Prince, the king of preachers, never man spake like this man." And it says that many went back. There you have their rejection. They rejected the word, and in so doing they rejected the Lord. The word had offended them. It was a hard saying. It was too rough. It left them feeling uncomfortable. The word was too personal. The word was too powerful. The word was too pointed. Too painful to accept. So from that, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And sadly today, many follow in that same path, because if they attend a place of worship where the book is opened and expounded, they resent being challenged about their sin, about their secret sins. They resent being challenged about the way they live. They resent being told they need Christ. And so they go away and find a place where they're more comfortable, where they're not challenged, where they can sit at ease in Zion. Again, we think of the words of Paul. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Whether they like it or not, you preach it. Reprove, rebuke. He's preaching the word. And through the word, he reproves, he rebukes, he exhorts with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but with their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away. There it is. They'll turn away your ears from the truth. And shall be turned unto fables. They'll turn from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They'll turn away. The Lord's disciples went away. Listen. And walked no more with him. What could be better than a Christian walking with Christ? What greater experience could any Christian have than walking with the Lord? Being a Noah or an Enoch who walked with God. They didn't want the word, therefore they didn't want the walk. It's a good way of putting it. They didn't want the word because they didn't want the walk. Because the preaching of the word leads people into the walk with God. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Do we not often sing, oh, for a closer walk with God? A calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. It's the first part. We've seen those today who were disloyal to the Lord and His Word. Next week, God willing, we'll consider those who were indeed loyal to the Lord and to His Word. Let's bow in prayer. O Father and our God, Lord, we have learned today from Thy truth what it is to reject Thy truth, to reject Thy word, and to go back and to walk no more with Thee. How many, Lord, have done that? They have backslidden, they have slidden backwards. O Lord, I pray earnestly that each one today who know Thee, keep us loyal, Lord. Keep us in love with Christ and His Word. May we ever love the Lord and ever love the truth that He preached. May we ever love this Bible, the greatest book on earth. Lord, make us students of the Word. May we want to be in the schoolhouse of Christ. So, Lord, write this Word upon the fleshly tables of our hearts today. Have us, Lord, the rest of the day and this week to live for Thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks, the shadows all flee away. And Lord, come, come and meet with us afresh tonight. In Thy name we pray. Amen.